Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Tommy Brown. I'm life coach with Life Engagement Coaching, and here in Boone, North Carolina, I work with students who are considering college, going through college, perhaps struggling. I work with students in their transition from college into what comes next. Today, I'm excited about hosting some folks who are in college. On the phone right now, I've got Melissa, Connor, and Patrick, and I just spent a week with these three and several others out in San Francisco for an amazing week of service learning. And so the theme of today's show is service learning and service learning trips and how these experiences that colleges provide or that you can find during college can be an amazing part of your journey and growth during college. And so today we're just going to have a conversation about service learning, these students and their experience with it, especially focusing on this past week. And I am really looking forward to this afternoon's show. If you're interested in calling in, the number is 646-716-9397. We invite you to join the conversation here on Blog Talk Radio on the Life Coach Radio Network. So, Connor, Melissa, and Patrick, welcome, and thanks so much for calling. First, let's get started just by telling the folks about yourself a little bit. Patrick, you want to go first?
Yes.
Your name, your year in college, major, hometown, all of that good stuff.
Well, my name is Patrick Long. I'm a sophomore at Appalachian State, and I'm studying psychology, and I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Great. Connor.
Yeah, my name is Connor Strand. I'm a junior accounting major, and I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right. Melissa.
My name's Melissa Revis, and I'm a senior at App State, and I'm studying entrepreneurship, international business, and nonprofit management, and I'm from Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay. So all of you, took a week out of your this past week took a week out of your life, Christmas break, your holiday break, and spent a week in San Francisco living in the Tenderloin, which is not the best section of San Francisco, in a hostel, which is not as hostile as it sounded. It was actually a wonderful place. And working really hard at some agencies in the Tenderloin that serve the homeless or drug addicted or folks struggling with addiction and other things. So, why? For each of you, where you served and lived is not a great place. Why do you take a week of your time and do that during your time in college? Melissa, you want to start?
Sure. The whole reason that I really wanted to go on this trip was strictly for the California culture. I've heard a lot about San Francisco, and I've always wanted to kind of immerse myself in that way of life. And I thought this would be a really good opportunity, especially working with the homeless and poverty-stricken population, considering it is the number one in the country, the city itself. So I thought it would be really interesting to see that and do as much as I could to help, and the fact that we were working with three organizations to kind of help with that and the HIV/AIDS awareness kind of program, working alongside with those types of people just made it even better.
Mm-hmm. Great. We've had someone join us, 919 number. Who's that?
My name is Jake Thomas, and I'm a junior social work major.
Excellent. Well, welcome. And you're at App State as well. These are all App State students I got with me. I also teach at App State. So these are the folks I was able to go on the trip with, and we're going to be talking today about our service learning experience. So, Connor, what about you? I know this is not your only experience. Why do you take a week out of your life or a week or more out of your life and do these types of trips?
Well, I just thought it was an interesting concept. I was one of the leaders for this trip, so I was sort of able to pick and choose what we were going to be doing in San Francisco. And I thought it was a very interesting subject working with the homeless community in there, because I did grow up in California for a couple years when I was younger. I have family out there, so it's not the first time that I've seen it before. I knew it was there, I knew it was a problem, and I just thought that it would be something interesting to go and do, and I feel like we did a lot of great work out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patrick, what about you?
Well, when I was considering the trip, I really picked it because it was something, a field I never really looked into, like the HIV/AIDS pandemic and the homeless isn't stuff I've been exposed to before. Also, having never been on the West Coast, it was an opportunity to travel. And I feel like by doing service trips, you get a lot more out of the community. You get to meet people that you normally wouldn't if you're just a regular tourist.
Yeah. So you see different parts of the city, experience different things, and get to know some folks you wouldn't, including the folks you went with that you might not run into on campus. What about you, Jake?
Well, I, like Connor, have had experiences on the West Coast. I have family out there, as well as I've been to San Francisco before. However, I, as a social work major, I guess I had never really realized what all had been going on. Like, the last time that I'd been there, I just never had that kind of view of things that I had this time around. And when I found out the purpose of the trip, I just jumped at the opportunity, because this was something that, those are two of my biggest passions, or that we would get to work with, and you know, staying in the district and having the experiences we had, it was something I could not deny.
For folks who've never been to the Tenderloin, where we both lived in the hostel and where we worked, how would you describe that, Melissa?
Just the Tenderloin district in general?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was really interesting, just talking about, you were talking about how the hostel didn't really seem like a hostel, and it kind of seems like this more, like, elaborate, like, beautiful, like, hotel space for a community of individuals just wanting to travel. But it was interesting how we talked to the people working at the hostel, and they said, you know, don't take a right out of the hostel after this time of night and stuff like that. And, you know, we had to actually take a right to work at the at Glide for the morning breakfast service. And that was interesting walking that way after she had told us, you know, that's probably not the best way to go. And there's people on the sides of the street and people on the ground sleeping early in the morning. And the mental illness problem isn't as known as it should be. There are a lot of people that really aren't in their right mind. And so that was, I wouldn't say interesting, but definitely enlightening to see. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for folks listening, and have never been to San Francisco, the Tenderloin's in the heart of the city. In fact, it's called the heart of the city, and lots of times very near the Civic Center, near City Hall. Not too far, very close to, in fact, Union Square, which is the main shopping district, and very accessible, right on Market Street, mainline area. A lot of homelessness, a lot of poverty, a lot of agencies are based in the Tenderloin. But if you've been to San Francisco, or if you haven't been to San Francisco, a lot of homelessness, a lot of drug usage, those sorts of things. It's a fascinating, fascinating city, wonderful place to visit. We had an excellent time. But we did see real stuff, people struggling, suffering, a lot of homelessness, and worked with some amazing agencies during our week out there. So I'm going to ask each of you kind of what are your highlights, some highlights from this last week, as you've had a little over 24 hours since we left San Francisco to reflect on the experience. What's sticking with you at this point? And I'll go start with you, Jake.
I definitely had a few. I think the probably one of my biggest highlights was being able to stay within the actual, you know, neighborhood that we were serving. Just the fact that, you know, we firsthand were able to witness the poverty, witness the homelessness, witness the mental illness, and the really the problems that we were working and the organizations we were working with were combating. That was by far probably, I think, my biggest highlight. But also the fact that we got to work with multiple agencies, ones that are more traditional in GLIDE and in Project Open Hand, but also one that takes a much more radical approach, like Syringe Access Services did, which was so cool because having experience in past ASC programs as well as working in an office that plans them, I was actually, it's cool to see something take a kind of roundabout way rather than just
the
direct.
Just real quick, ASC is the alternative service experience here at Appalachian.
Yes. And it was just mind-blowing to see that, you know, there are other organizations out there. ASC focuses mainly on ones that are not controversial, that are not harm reduction. They are more the eradication. They're more the helping type of organization. And to be able to work with one that their motto is meeting someone where they're at by far was one of the coolest things that I have probably ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and, you know, my final highlight would just be the fact that we were able to take a group that was so open and so willing and was so just ready to serve, and a lot of the times I've seen groups the polar opposite of that.
Great. Melissa, what about your highlights?
I think my highlights were mainly the people. Just seeing the different types of people through each organization, seeing the people on the street, meeting people on the buses. One of my big things is to just make conversation with random strangers and, you know, see how much they'll tell me about their lives without being too intrusive. And it was really great talking to the people at all the organizations at GLIDE. You know, you get to talk to people that are going through some pretty hard times, but they're still willing to talk with you and see how your day's going, and there's kind of something great about that. And then you go to Project Open Hand, where, you know, everyone who works for the organization is just five steps ahead of everything. Have everything mapped out for the day, but they're really there just to do everything they can to make the quality of food so much better for all their clients, and I just couldn't get over the heart of everyone that I met. I mean, I don't think I met someone that I, you know, didn't have a little connection with, and I think that's really, it's really cool to, you know, be from the east side and go to the west side and just meet someone who you didn't know before, but you feel so instantly connected to over one thing.
That's something I noticed. You highlight something that I think was a highlight for me was just the conversations that happen, the random conversations that happen, and the random encounters with some really amazing people on the bus rides, on the streetcar rides, and especially at the agencies, both among the populations and the clients we were working with, but also with the folks who were also taking time out of their lives for service and for giving to others. Amazing, amazing people that we ran into. And one of the highlights for me certainly was watching y'all as students, as young adults, interacting with and really stepping out of your comfort zone to have those interaction and encounters was a really highlight for me. Patrick, what about you?
My highlights have to be the people, the organizations we worked with. It was just kind of refreshing to see someone who's working with a people group that's constantly plagued by a problem that's not going to go away, but they still are really resilient and enthusiastic. I feel like a lot of times when people go into service work, they get burnt out eventually because it's just hard to see every day a problem that's not going away. And so, like, seeing how upbeat everyone was at Project Open Hand, how much work they've done and are still going to do in the future just kind of made me think, okay, that's something I could do one day. And it was something achievable.
Fascinating. Yeah, great stuff. Connor, what about you?
I thought it was very interesting to see the difference and the similarities between the organizations we were working with. Working at Glide and their free meals program, they had a tendency to focus on quantity over quality of the meals. They tried to serve as many people as they possibly could, as fast as they possibly could. And then going over to Project Open Hand and seeing how they're more focused on the quality of their meals as far as, you know, the ingredients they do and the services they provide, and not necessarily focusing on the quantity, even though it is a very large organization and they are able to serve a lot of people because they do have a large budget. But I thought it was very interesting to go to Glide in the morning and see how fast their program runs, and then in the afternoon go to Project Open Hand and see the difference. But at the end of the day, they're trying to accomplish the same thing. They're just taking two different approaches to it, and I thought it was really interesting.
Really fascinating. You know, there's not a right way or the wrong way. It's not a black or white issue in terms of there being a right way or a wrong way, but that both agencies and all the three agencies we work with are really trying to alleviate need in the best way that they can, and in different ways. And I thought I agree, Connor, that was really, for me, a really fascinating part of the trip to see and be exposed to the differences in the agencies. So I would certainly agree with that. So, each of you have chosen to participate in this service learning trip. What do you get from either this past trip we went on or other trips, service learning kind of experiences? What do you get from these experiences? Go ahead, Connor.
I have a little bit different of a situation than a lot of the other students that do these trips because I'm not a social work major, I'm not a sociology major, I'm not a psychology major, I'm a business major. So it's hard for me to relate what we do on these trips to something in the classroom. However, you could do it loosely, but it's not a very strong connection. This is just something that I like doing, to stay well-rounded in all of my studies, not just focusing on business perspectives. I really do feel like this is a way to, you know, just stay knowledgeable about all types of issues, not just, you know, how the economy is doing or something like that. This is a real problem, and a lot of people are sheltered and they don't know it's out there, but it really is a great way to expand, your views on life in general. And that's why I do these trips.
And you went this past time as a leader, and I know you're going as a leader on another trip here. What about that experience? How does that play into it? And also perhaps connect with your major or what you want to do with your life?
Well, leading these trips, it's a very different experience than just going on one, because you are able to see the planning side of it, you know, looking at the budget, finding transportation, finding service sites. So there is a good bit of planning that goes into it. But something that I found is very interesting is working on the budget for the trips, which, you know, can relate to my major. We do have a strict budget, especially for food. And, you know, we do try and eat at the poverty line, which, you know, does make it a little bit difficult in terms of, keeping track of the money that you do spend on food. But, you know, and you've got to find decent ways of transportation, cost-effective, and stuff like that. But I find it's a very different experience when you're leading, because, you know, you have to think about everything. When you're a participant, you're sort of, you know, you're herded around a little bit. Not that that's a bad thing anyway, because that's part of the experience. But as a leader, you do have to make sure that everything's going the way it's supposed to go. And I think that my co-leader and I did a good job of that on this last trip.
I certainly agree. Y'all did a great job. It was a pleasure to work with you. Melissa, your reflections on what do you get from the experience, and why go on these trips?
To me, I think there's something amazing about not only hearing about something, but going in actually experiencing it for yourself. And so it's like, you know, you hear about San Francisco and you hear that it's a beautiful city. You hear it's the most expensive city. You hear it's stricken by homelessness and poverty and HIV and AIDS, but you never really see it until you see it, you know. And so I think that's really important. If something ever, you know, becomes of interest to you, I think it's always a good idea to go see it for yourself, because it's 10 times out of 10, it's going to be different than what you ever thought it was going to be. And so coming back and knowing what I know now about San Francisco from the tourist perspective, and actually kind of living in the Tenderloin district for a week, I definitely have a different paradigm about what San Francisco is in general. And it's always nice to go and experience the culture, but give back to that culture while you're there. And so I really like that experience. It's really important to me. And I know how Connor was talking about business majors, and I'm a business major too, an entrepreneurship major. But my focus is like social entrepreneurship, so doing social businesses and going in between that and kind of the nonprofit world. You start to see that they're becoming more of the same thing. And business is very important in the nonprofit world. And so I'm trying more and more to connect the two. And it is hard, but it was a good experience to see how Project Open Hand runs on a office standpoint and a nonprofit standpoint.
So. Mm-hmm. Great. Patrick. Your reflections. Why go on these sorts of trips?
I kind of feel like we're in college to get an education, of course, but education really isn't always in the classroom. Like, we often have, like, I'm a psych major. I get all these facts about how people act, how people react to things and go about everyday situations, but really the biggest part of our education, I feel like, is our experiences. And so by going on these trips and serving in communities, we're able to observe people in their natural environments and see how things work. And I feel like it just makes it a more rounded education, and just I feel like this trip and other trips I've been on helps to serve me better in the real world than like a facts and figures that I'll read in the book.
So it's taking some of the conceptual, and we're going to spend more time on this in a little bit, but some of the conceptual work you're doing in the classroom and actually seeing it applied. And I guess as a psych major, you've got a whole bunch of stories to tell and experiences with, you know, the reality of mental illness on the streets. Is that one of the takeaways from this particular trip for you?
That was, especially seeing how much these people were going untreated. Because in mental illness, we kind of talk in a sense that, oh, everyone's going to these offices, everyone's being treated, like, we're working at it. But then you see that there's this whole population that's suffering from a lot of harsher mental illnesses that aren't getting any kind of treatment.
Yeah, or seem to not be getting. It's definitely out there. Jake, what about you? So, you know, what are the takeaways? What do you get from these experiences? I know you've invested a lot of time and energy and funding into multiple trips.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things is I realized from a very young age, and I have to thank my parents for this, that, you know, a classroom can only teach you so much. It's not about the grades. It's not about, you know, trying to, like, make the grade, make some dean's list. It's about what you learn. It's about what you can take away. And these experiences for me, you know, I have invested a lot of time and I've invested a lot of, like, of my money to have these experiences, and every single one has been worth it to me because I learned so much more, or I'm able to tie in things I have learned in the classroom so much better than I ever would have out if I hadn't had these experiences. And it's helped me just kind of figure out, you know, not only how to put together what I've learned in the classroom into the real world, it's not only taught me what, you know, what the real world is in a lot of ways, but it's also kind of taught me a lot about myself and how I want to function, how I want to just be and who I want to be as I continue going forward with my career and with my life goals.
Excellent. Yeah, so if when you, and you get the opportunity to do this, and Connor, you as well, in recruiting students, and Melissa and Patrick, you are involved in this as well, recruiting students to take these experiences, to take the time, their spring breaks, their May breaks, their fall breaks, their winter breaks, and to invest the funds and the time in these sorts of things. So briefly, you know, what do you say to these folks? And Jake, I'll just follow up with you. What do, you know, how do you recruit folks at Appalachian? But how, what would you say to students at other schools, even at community colleges who might be listening, and parents who might be listening? Why, you know, do service learning? Why go on a trip like we just went on to San Francisco? So go ahead, Jay.
In my opinion, it's a lot of people are worried about, you know, losing their break, losing their precious time. And what I have to say to them is, you know, you're not losing this time. You're not only gaining experience, but you're gaining so much more. You know, you're gaining opportunities because of these experiences, and you're gaining really just a whole new life view that you might not have otherwise, as well as so much knowledge that you might not otherwise have.
Melissa?
For me, you talked about recruiting, and to me, I feel like you could either go do something that you're really interested in, like, or you could do something that you know nothing about. I know, I think Connor's leading a trip about community farming and urban farming, and you can pop in if I'm wrong, but, like, I don't know anything about that. But I think it would be interesting to go on a trip like that, you know, and just take a week off from my life and kind of explore for a little bit, because it gives you some perspective and allows you to come back in your life and see what you'd want to change. And I think that's all about progress. How do you move on and, you know, even grow up if you're in college, if you don't know how or even where to start? And taking these experiences where they kind of put you outside the box to look in at your own life, kind of allows for people to make the certain changes in their life that will get them into a happier situation or a more adventureful, if that's a word, kind of life.
Yeah. So. Patrick?
I would say that, like, in college, they're trying to prepare us for the real world. And so going on an alternative break kind of, it takes us away from the college bubble and puts us in a situation like what we're going to be like when we graduate. And so I feel like incentive is to say, hey, if you really want to know what's going on in the world around you, you need to go and explore it. And so by getting students to come on these breaks, it's not just like, oh, hey, we're going to go to San Francisco. It's, hey, we're going to see how the real world is working and how we're going to fit into it in the future.
Okay, Connor.
As far as recruiting goes, it's actually a very difficult process because people see the price tag that goes along with these trips and they just get scared. They could be very interested in it. It might be something they really want to do, but once they see the price, they just run away. And they don't realize that, you know, that covers flights, housing, local transportation, food for an entire week.
And, you know, that does cost a lot. And I guess they don't think about it that way because, you know, when they're at home, they don't pay for a week's worth of expenses all at once. And, you know, Jake was talking about opportunities. And I went on my first ASC last year, and just going on that one trip gave me so many opportunities. I now work in the ACT office with Jake, and this year I'm leading two ASC programs. And it's just all the opportunities I got this year because I went on one service learning program last year. So it's not like you're paying a certain amount just for a week. There are benefits that will come from it that you won't even see, you know, for weeks or months after that.
Yeah, the networks, the connections, the things you learn, it's an amazing investment. Want to invite folks to call in at 646-716-9397. This is Tommy Brown with the Life Coach Radio Network College Life Engagement Show, and we're talking today about service learning as an aspect of college, and talking with four students who have been on a service learning trip just this past week to San Francisco. I was lucky enough to be able to go with them, and they are amazing folks. We had an excellent time together. I want to take a little break right now and talk about other shows coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network. If I can get that up on my computer so I can look at those. Hang on. Upcoming. Today we've got, coming up on Monday, Spiritually Speaking with my good friend, Reverend Jen. She is amazing, and she's going to be joined by Joel Reedens, who's a personal development coach, and they'll be discussing spirituality issues pertaining to gay men and others in the LGBTQ community, which is something we explored as we were out in San Francisco. Next on the Life Coach Radio Network is Fund to Fortune Entrepreneurship. Join the conversation with those who have created fun businesses and uncovered their fortunes in the process. And that's on the Life Coach Radio Network coming up. On Life Coach Chat Channel, which is a sister network of Life Coach Radio Network, the next show coming up is Believe with Life Coach Joseph, holding a profound belief that we possess a brilliant energy within ourselves. Angelique will bring that belief into with her into each coaching session, each person. Angelique Joseph is the host for that show, who's amazing. And so that is on, let's see if I can find, tomorrow at 9 p.m. on the Life Coach Chat Channel. And those are always amazing conversations. On the International Life Coach Channel, Satisfying Careers in Show Business. Today is the anniversary of the death of one of the world's great theater artists, Ellen Stewart, the mama of La Mama Experiential Theater Club. And that's going to be a show about that and finding satisfying careers. So, folks, I invite you to listen to Life Coach Chat Channel, Life Coach Radio Network, and the International Life Coach Radio. You can find that online at Blog Talk Radio. And we'll get back to our show. Our topic today is service learning experiences in college, and I'm joined with four amazing folks, Patrick, Melissa, Connor, and Jake, who I was lucky enough to go on a week-long trip to San Francisco, and we served in the Tenderloin. I want to get back to our conversation. I recently, as a college faculty and as a person who works with your generation of students, I read a book called Generation on a Tightrope. It's a great book about your generation of students. And one of the things that came up in that book is that active service, service learning, and experiential service trips are increasing in popularity. Any thought on why that might be, and what is it about your generation or the world we're living in currently that leads college students to serve? I'd love to know your thoughts on this. So who'd like to go first? Speak up.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with that students are slowly starting to realize all of the benefits that they receive from these types of trips, especially the community we have here up Appalachian. Working in the Act Office with Jake, we have a little bit of knowledge about similar types of programs at other universities, and Appalachian's campus has one of the largest alternative service experience programs in the state, in the nation. So it's, I think a lot of it has to do with where you're located and the type of people that are able to participate in these programs. And I think that because we have such a great group of people up here in Boone, that our program has really been able to flourish over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. While we were out in San Francisco, there were other groups that we encountered, both at Glide and at Open Hand. There was a group at Open Hand we worked with who were encountered, who was from Idaho State College. What is it about, any thoughts on what it, you know, generationally, that might be leading students or, in, you know, to get involved in these sorts of things as a way of expressing themselves? Any thoughts, Melissa or Jake?
Well, I really think that we are the generation of the global citizen. We are a generation that, apart from like our parents' generation, apart from the generations before us, we are moving more onto a global scale. We are seeing, we have the ability through social media and through media to see what's really happening in the world, and we want to do something about it. We want to expand ourselves onto that global scale rather than just allowing ourselves to, you know, sit in a classroom. We want the hands-on. We want the international. We want that experience where we can go out into the communities and do something about it.
That's a really fascinating perspective, you know, and I'd love to explore that more maybe in an upcoming show, that by being connected, in effect, through the technology and globally that the technology enables, that then the impetus, and what I'm hearing you say is the impetus then is to get out and experience that, and experience that in very real ways through service learning. Does that kind of get at that? Melissa, your thoughts?
I don't know. I just think, you think about the normal business or work world, if you get out of school and you're going to work 8 to 5, probably in a cubicle, and then you're going to have to work up from there. But I think what our generation is starting to realize is that you can mix service and business together, service and work together. And this is me just going back on my rant towards social business and not the nonprofit world, but I mean, even, again, talking about Project Open Hand, I mean, they looked like a huge corporation on the inside, but they were a 501c3 nonprofit, you know, and it worked. They work hand in hand, and I think kids are, or, you know, college students are starting to go on these trips to start to get an idea about what they want to do with their life. Because I know that I don't really have an idea of exactly what I want to do, but I know that I want, whatever I choose, I want it to be, you know, beneficial for someone else. So this is kind of another way for us to explore our options, but while doing something that helps another person. So.
But I guess the question then would be, is this something that stops when you graduate college, or is this something that's going to continue throughout your lives? Any thoughts on that?
I mean, I know for me, it won't stop. But that's also because I know that to do with my life. But so that's kind of a biased answer. But I think even going on one of these experiences will change someone into wanting to continue to do this. So I think my answer is that they will keep doing it.
Okay. Patrick, your thoughts about the generational thing, but also then following up, is this something that you're going to continue for the rest of your life?
I kind of agree with Jake about the exposure. But also, we're on the tail end of our generation of some great social movements, and so the groundwork's kind of been laid down. There's a lot more like service opportunities in our community. It's really saturated with great organizations that we see like on the daily basis that we can work at. So I feel like the amount of opportunities also draws more people to service. And on the point of beyond college, I feel like once you've gone through and done service, you can no longer hide behind the apathy of not caring. It's kind of like once you see the problems that's wrong with your society, you can't really ignore them anymore. And so I feel like that's what's going to keep us going into service and helping those around us.
Okay. So I'm hearing pretty consistently that these experiences have been part of a life-changing experience, and something, because it's been life-changing, is something that's going to continue. You're going to continue to want to be exploring this, to be serving, to be working and making meaning out in the community. Is that, and Connor, as a business major, how's that connect? How does that, business on the surface at least, tends to be about making money, not about making meaning. And what I'm hearing is a lot about meaning making.
Yeah. I think coming from a business perspective, students typically, they have their plan set out and, they graduate in 4 years and then they immediately, start working for a big corporation or something like that. It is a little more difficult to continue to do these types of programs once you're out of school. Everything's already planned for you when you sign up for these trips. All you have to do is, write a check and, meet at the airport. And you're good to go. You don't have to do too much work other than that. So I think finding the time, for business majors who, are starting a full-time job as soon as they graduate, and, finding the community or a group of people that they would want to be, doing the service with for an entire week or however long it would be, might be a little hard. I know that I have been on a couple of these trips before, and every single one I've been on has been life-changing in some way, whether it be small or big. So I definitely feel, along with the rest of the group, that even though from a business major, I could take the other route and, sort of focus on the business perspective of things and, sort of take the easy way out of, I have a job, I have to do this, I don't have the time, that I will definitely still be involved with service for the rest of my life. And I can say that.
It's in you. It's got you. I know we had the conversation the other day about how, as a business and major, that you can see yourself perhaps serving some of these sorts of agencies. And we certainly encountered folks who are working with these agencies. Andy comes to mind the other day. It was a lawyer who is now working for Project Open Hand and, his training. And I think that that's one of the richnesses that come from certainly this past week, but all of these experiences of the people who, no matter what field they get into, are also finding ways also to express their humanity and to serve humanity. Jake, any thoughts?
Coming from me, I am a social work major, and something that these trips have helped me understand
is
that...
So your money is never going to be a part of what you do. No,
not at all, and that's the thing, is that to me, I have this full belief that money can't buy happiness. And, the things I want to do in life is, they don't involve money. I am in a major that is, it is the head of social change. Social sciences social majors involving social change are becoming more and more prevalent, and it's something I'm seeing among my peers, and it's something I'm seeing among just individuals around the world. And it's so cool to see, and knowing that, I can go into these experiences and I'm not the only one taking away. I get the direct effect because I can directly tie in what I see in the classroom. I can directly, you know, tie in, like, where I'm going with my life to what we're doing. And I obviously know that I'm going to take this, like, I'm forever going to be trying to attempt some form of social change wherever I end up. But I also get to see that, you know, I don't have to be a social worker. So many people we work with have their degrees in social work, you know, at the at the organizations we worked with. So I have so many options going forward to, you know, have those service experiences in so many different ways.
That's great. You know, the other thing I'm hearing, and I think maybe that this is a concern that some folks listening, and especially some parents listening, is that, you know, this does really change, these sorts of experiences do change your lives. They show you, as Patrick, you've said, they show you the real world. And you get to experience the real world. And I guess some of the fear that folks might have considering these is just that. You know, do they really want to, are they old enough? Are they ready to experience the real world? Are they really ready to go live in the Tenderloin in San Francisco for a week and walk through those streets? Any thoughts or reflections on that? And again, the question about, you know, students considering this, why? Whoever, step up.
I believe that really, like, no one can ever truly be ready for what they're going to see in service trips. Like, I don't think even after this trip that I'll ever be ready to see another person sleeping on the streets again. But at the same time, like, every time you go and every time you expose yourself to new things, like, you're going to grow yourself. And I feel like it's something that you should risk. Even if you feel like you're not ready, it's something that you're always – it's always going to be a good thing. You're never going to come back from it saying, oh, I wish I hadn't gone. I feel like exposing yourself is the best option.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts from anybody about that
issue? I don't think there's ever a right time to expose someone. But the truth of the matter is you can't live in a bubble forever.
Right.
And at some point or another, that bubble is going to burst. And whether you do it on your own terms or not is, I guess, really the biggest thing.
Excellent.
Yeah. My first trip that I went on was an international trip last spring break, and that was sort of a big step for me because I had never been out of the country before. I've traveled within the U.S. a lot, but that was something that was, you know, it was a daunting thing for me to take on, and I sort of, you know, did it on a whim, saying, you know, I'm just going to do it, and it turned out to be the best decision of my life.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. The name of the show is College Life Engagement. It's about engaging, the importance of engaging in life, engaging in college, and taking, using this time in your lives to stretch, to risk, to overcome perceived barriers and obstacles. And that's what I, as a life coach, work with students to do and to really move towards their success. And I hope folks who are listening today or on the archive are hearing, you know, that these students are examples of students who have taken those steps forward, who have not let the barriers hold them back, but have really pushed on through the fears, pushed on through perceived obstacles, and are engaging fully in their college experience, in learning in the classroom and outside of the classroom. And again, it was just an amazing experience to spend this last week with these folks. We're moving towards time to wrap up. This hour's gone quickly. And I just want to ask each of you, you know, what's next? If you could create your own service learning experience trip, where would you go? What would you do? Who would you serve? So just dream a little bit. So what's next for you, Patrick?
Well, I can't off the top of my head think of, like, the perfect trip to put together, but definitely for me on spring break, I'm going on a trip to Ecuador. Actually, Jake is going to be one of the leaders for that trip, so that's really what's next for me.
Okay. Great. And what are y'all going to be doing in Ecuador?
We're going to be working with two Peace Corps volunteers, mostly with kids learning English, from what I've gathered.
Okay. Should be a real stretch. Jake,
oh, yeah.
You've got that trip coming up. What else is next? What would be the dream trip for you?
I think would be going back to Africa. I had the opportunity to go to Uganda this summer and work with this amazing organization over there called YOFAFO, which stands for Youth Focused on Africa. And there, you know, it's all about empowerment of the poverty-stricken, empowerment about women, giving the children a chance at education that they may not have because they can't afford it. And I think, other than Ecuador, going forward, you know, I would love to go back there. I'd love to work with them. I'd love to work with organizations, you know, that focus in South America and Africa, because those are two places I've been and two places I know from experience need something. They need, and it's not all over, but there are places where, you know, they need those organizations. They need people to come in and say, what can I do to change this?
Melissa, what about you?
I would probably say going on a service trip with Wine to Water, who I'm actually interning with. I've been with them for a little over half a year now. And we just started doing volunteer programs. We just actually got a new full person on staff, Lisa Merritt, who works with volunteer programs and coordination and things of that nature. So I think that would be the next step for me. I'm really interested in providing clean water. Just like when we were on the trip, we one of the organizations kind of talked about Maslow's theory and, you know, providing the necessary things before they can even start thinking about other criteria for life, like water, shelter, clothes, food, things like that. And I've kind of always latched on to water. So hopefully join the trip with Wine to Water in my future.
And if you're not familiar with Wine to Water, listeners, that's an agency that's located here in Boone but serves about 16 countries nationally. And Doc Henley, who is the founder of Wine to Water, has been featured as one of CNN heroes, and they recently did an hour-long episode just focused on the work of Wine to Water, an amazing organization based here in Boone. And I want to talk more with you, Melissa, about that. Who's on this? Connor. What's next for you, and what would be your dream trip?
Well, I sort of already did my dream trip. You know, I planned the San Francisco trip. I've been working on that since September. Finding the
it was a dream trip for all of us too.
Yeah. it was, you know, more than I hoped it would ever be, and I'm. You know, all the work I put in, you know, I feel like it really paid off. But now I got to switch my focus to I'm going to Belize in the spring. That was the trip I went on last year as a participant, and I'm actually going back there this year to lead it. So we're going to be working on community development projects, a little bit with small businesses, working on a cocoa farm. It's just a really interesting program, and I'm really excited to see how it's going to be different for me now that I'm in this leadership role.
And the leadership opportunity in these trips that I know the ACT office here, the ASE office here at Appalachian really focuses on, I went as a faculty leader on the trip, but I really was not the leader. The students were the leaders of the trip, and faculty here, faculty do go on, a faculty, but really just to help out and assist, and I really was very impressed with the program and the leadership that Melissa and Connor provided in the planning and the implementation and all the facets of this trip, and I think that that's a great part of the process that we just experienced as well. And again, for the audience, you can certainly hear in these students how it's been a life-changing experience and what an amazing opportunity service learning is. One of the things that we've touched on, but just would like to take a minute or two to stress is, so what about the funding? What are the options for folks as far as taking advantage of these trips at their colleges or their universities or in other agencies and finding a way to make this possible financially for them? What do you say to folks? Connor?
You know, these trips do have a set price, but there are ways for students to get funding for these trips.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to, we have a scholarship that the Act Office provides. It's called the Lee Wayne Edwards Scholarship, and that provides a $500 scholarship to students to go on these trips. That's for the international trips. And you can also get scholarships from the Office of International Education.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a different way that students can, you know, raise money themselves, which Jake could tell you a little bit more about because he had to do that last year when we first trip to Africa.
Great. Yeah. Jake, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, of course. It's something that we stress to students is that, you know, not everyone is going to get these scholarships. And so going forward, you're going to have to find ways to raise this money. And what I did last summer is, you know, my trip to Uganda was well out of my price range, but I was able to, you know, talk to my family and get them to put up half the cost. And what I proceeded to do was I created a fundraising site. I used the platform GoFundMe. There's many other different kinds. There's Kickstarter. There's Fundly. There's all different kinds. But what I did is, you know, I pitched what I was trying to do. I went out and I sold myself to anyone and everyone and told them, you know, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm not going to be able to do this without your help. And I talked to friends. I talked to family. I talked to anyone and everyone who I had a chance to meet, you know, within my life, within my social circles. And I was able to raise $2,200 in just 3 weeks.
Excellent, which was a whole different part of the learning opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say to students here. Say, great, go fundraise. You know, go find, do a Kickstarter. Well, not a Kickstarter, but go do an Indiegogo. Go do something else. A way to go ask people for money because, you know, there's a whole another aspect to the learning experience. So thanks for that. Want to really encourage folks who are listening to take advantage of this, to explore these opportunities at their colleges and universities. I know a lot of and other agencies that are offering these opportunities. Here at Appalachian, we've got a great one. And, of course, have excellent students who have gone on these trips, the leaders and the students that we've been able to talk to today. We're about at time. I just want to get some final comments or thoughts from each of our guests, and we'll begin with you, Melissa. Any last things that you'd like to say, reflections on our trip, reflections on today's conversation?
Not more so reflection, but just kind of telling any listeners out there that if you you should definitely do a service learning trip. I've been on two, and they're amazing. And just like Jake had said, if you really put your mind to it, you can fundraise money. I raised money for both of mine, and it's changed my life. And I know, like, I'm going to do service with the rest of my life. And I just encourage you to step out of your box and try something new.
Excellent. Patrick.
I'm just kind of on the same page as Melissa. I just feel like if you are given the opportunity, students really should take it. Even if you have to fight for that money and fundraise, it's really worth every penny because this is my second one, and so far it's just been every moment of the trip was great, and it's a great experience I'll never forget.
Excellent. Jake?
One of my favorite quotes is, by the Beatles, living is easy with eyes closed. And it just, something I have to say is that, you know, it's so easy to go through life not taking chances, not putting yourself out there, and not having the experiences just because you aren't willing to jump for it. There are times where you're just going to have to say, you know what, I have to just do it. And you may you may end up on the wrong side of the tracks on it. You may end up on the wrong, not where you want to be, but until you try, you're never going to have these experiences and you're never going to be able to experience some kind of change, whether it be for yourself or whoever you serve.
Excellent. Connor.
I would just have to say that it's never too late to do something like this. Unfortunately, I didn't find out about this till, you know, the very end of my sophomore year. I wish I would have found out about it my freshman year, but, you know, I'm a junior, and I've done two trips this year already. I'm doing a third in the spring, and who knows how many more I'm going to do when I'm a senior, so just take advantage of it if you can.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank each of you for an excellent conversation, excellent show. I hope the listeners who listen to it live or will pick it up on archive will enjoy the show. I think this is something that offices and officers out there who work in service learning could pick up and use, because y'all shared some great thoughts and some great ideas for what this means. It was my pleasure to really work with each of you and with the group out in San Francisco. I want to thank you all for that experience. I loved it. I loved being with y'all, and want to thank you again for the show today. Thanks so much for calling in so that we could have this conversation. Peace and blessings. Again, my name is Tommy Brown. I'm a life coach. I work with College Life Engagement Coaching based here in Boone, North Carolina. I can be contacted at Tommy@collegelifeengagement.com. My number is 828-719-8741. I work with students and their parents on the issues of getting into college, getting the most out of college, being successful in college, taking advantage of all the experiences such as service learning during college, and then that transition after college of engaging fully in life and the experiences and the challenges and all that that brings, but making the most of it and putting your whole selves, your full engagement into the experiences, just like these students have done and continue to do. Blessings and peace, and we'll look forward to talking with you next month. The second Sunday of every month at 3 in the afternoon on Sundays, I host College Life Engagement here on Blog Talk Radio on the Life Coach Radio Network. Thanks and goodbye.